requires something to be done, like the Lord's Supper, to be observed and recognized the place of the body and blood of Christ. He said, that's an emphasis that ought to be sustained. He said, I'd be fearful of someone who said, let's just forget it, let's not be a part of it, and everything. He said, but I also am equally fearful of the person who says where God has not specified something, that there's only one way to do this. And with that, he went on to talk about how that in God's word, he wanted there to be order. And he wanted there to be order in such a way that the teaching of his will did not always involve the detail with which to carry it out. Now, when it did, it should be honored. For example, in Genesis 6, we read of God's telling Noah that a great flood was coming, and that he was to build an ark of gopher wood, specified wood. Make one door, one door. One window, one window. It was to be so long, so wide, so high to be done, and those numbers are specified by him. Those who study oceanography say that that's the most perfect design of ratio of width and height and well and everything that there is, and that that would withstand the onslaught of the waves and the waters that were moving it up and out of the way of the flood times. But if I would ask you, what kind of tools were he to use? You would never, ever in your lifetime or two come up with an answer that would be according to what the Scripture says. For the Scripture does not say the type of tools that Noah was to use. God left it up to the decision of Noah himself. Did he use a broad axe, blade axe? Did he use cross-cut saw? What did he do? We do not know. And if we were to base our fellowship with one another upon the idea of this being one thing, we would have absolutely create a division among ourselves, because there's no way to say that there's just one set of tools that he used. In the patriarch time, there was great detail given regarding animal sacrifices, the Day of Atonement, and so forth. A certain month, a certain day, and a certain time in which it was to be observed. They would observe that, and they would practice that as God had directed them. When Rehoboam went on up to the north area there, in 1 Kings 10, we read regard to the situation that he faced. And in 1 Kings 13, we read regard to the decrease that God for his favor. Because what he did was he set up another day of a time, an atonement, and another way in which he was to be honored. And he was practicing idolatry. The man of God was sent up there to correct him and to call out against that altar. And that's exactly what he did. God gave that man a particular detail of description for his travel. He was to go up that way. He was to neither eat nor drink as he went. And he was not to return by the way that he had gone into that land. Upon leaving that situation, calling out against the altar of Rehoboam, this man of God was met by the sons of this older, quote, prophet in that country, telling him a falsehood, telling him that my father wants to see you and meet you and come to his house and refresh yourself. He did so. He found himself listening to this man. He found himself going on his way then. A lion from nowhere came out and slew him. God blamed him for not following the detail that he had given to him. What kind of clothes was this prophet to wear? What kind of sandals were to be on his feet? We do not have any information in regard to that. We would be just really foolish if we were to demand a certain way that he be dressed, a certain way that he be clothed. We do not have the details of that. In the patriarch time, we do not have the tools that Noah used. In the time of the law of Moses, we do not have the clothing that the man of God was to wear. He was to go in that country and return not by the same route that he'd entered. He violated God's will in that particular matter because it was a specific directive that he understood that he did not practice. In the New Testament of our Bible, we're given great commission commands of the Lord. As the disciples were told, go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Rather specific, the Lord is teaching them that there needs to be this commitment of faith and immersion in order to be saved. But in what kind of an immersion procedure is to be done? Did he say that we're to be baptized only in a river? Some people believe running water must be there. Did he want them to baptize into a pool that was inside a building? No teaching is given about that. We would be really in division territory if we were to insist and demand that there be just a pond baptism, or just a pool baptism, or just a baptistry baptism. For we do not find that kind of teaching. We do find the order for it to be done, but we do not find that particular place in which that immersion. So long as there is much water there in John 3, John baptized in Jordan because there was much water there. There was enough to immerse an individual. And thus that was done. That seems to be the teaching throughout the New Testament of our Bible. Dead with him by baptism into death, wherein also ye risen with him, are the words of Colossians 2 and verse 12. Buried with him. Romans 6 tells us this is right matter. We ought not to continue in sin, because those that have been buried with him by baptism into his death were raised to walk in newness of life. It looks like that there is description of the meaning of that word in the commands that are given to be immersed or buried in baptism. Now let me ask you this regard to the place and the location. We are at a loss. The time and place. What about the temperature of the water? Well, we're at a loss to say there has to be cold water or warm water or whatever. I would suggest that maybe there's a little bit of faith involved in this particular matter, that we would always seek to be prepared for a person being immersed into Christ, and that the water be tepid at least in temperature rather than extra cold or extra hot. It would show a faith on the part of a person teaching, more so than the faith of that individual, because that individual wants to be immersed into Christ. And that's the idea. When you and I practice the worship of the Lord, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, description is given of people in the Corinth area that were misusing the Lord's Supper. They were not remembering the body and the blood of Christ as they partook of their meal. They recognized it as their own meal and not the Lord's Supper, according to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. But let me ask you, what kind of vessels are to be used for the bread, representing the body of Christ? What kind of vessels will be used for the fruit of the vine? Can they be glass? Can they be wood? Can they be metal? Can it be silver or gold? One would say, well, what is said there in the scripture in regard to the containers for the bread and the fruit of the vine? Nothing is said. It's a generic area. And when we find that generic area in the Bible, we should be just as offended by someone who says, the only way that you can honor the body and the blood of Christ, the only way you can do it, is to have it in gold. We will find ourselves in a way of division created, for there will be others who say, listen, it's the elements themselves that are the meaning. It's the unleavened bread. It's the fruit of the vine. It's the contents of a container. It's not the one container that holds it, but rather it's the content itself. It is the body and the blood of Christ. This came home to me down in the Delta. We had a big youth meeting. In fact, we were one of the very first ones, if not the first one, to conduct a big youth event. Later on, Vicksburg took this over because much bigger congregation and much more opportunities for you to come there than for little rural. But we had a house full of children that came to our first one of those. We had in that particular program, we had a panel planned, and we're going to be three or four fellows that were going to be sitting up on the stage area, and the Lord's Supper table being up that way. And I asked one of the young men if he would, before others arrived that morning, to help me out. I'd pick up one end, pick up the other end, and we would turn it around so that this new in remembrance of me was not the first thing that people saw out there in the crowd of the young people. It would be plain. He said, we can't do that. And I was shocked at the time, and I remember shuddering and looking at him and said, you got a back problem? And, oh, no, no. He said, I don't have a back problem picking it up. He said, but this is the Lord's table. Well, it's used for the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. It sure is. But we're using it today for a table that will be sitting in front for those who will be taking some notes about questions I'd ask about young people that have come here today. That's what I mean. He said, we can't do that. This is the Lord's Supper table only. Well, we put it up there that particular day as it was. But later on in class, I began to say, let's look at the scripture and see what it says about the Lord's Supper. This being the body and the blood of Christ, is this piece of furniture the body and the blood of Christ? What everybody could see, including the young man. No, that's not the body and blood of Christ. What is the container in which the bread is found? Is it the body and blood of Christ? No. Well, what is then the body and the blood of Christ? The bread, the fruit of the vine. When he says that you are to eat of this and remember the body and the blood of Christ as you eat of this and drink of this, or were to cut off a piece of the table as a termite and consume it as we eat the body? No. He accepted the teaching and recognized that that was something that he had not recognized before. Though that table is used, that the reference to the Lord's table was to eat and drink of his table. And so it is that we find ourselves in a mess when we take the simple teaching of God's will in the generic area and apply it to Noah back there. The only kind of tools you can use are, or apply it to the man of God. The only clothing that you can wear is. We find ourselves amiss if we plan a certain way of teaching the word of the Lord, going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we find ourselves doing that methodology, can we use radio? Can we use television? Can we use a printed page? Surely we can, because it's in the generic area. God did not tell us the exact hows of doing that. In our practice of helping those that are in need, James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 tells us to practice pure religion that is undefiled before God and the Father. That it's to visit or to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we care for those that are in need, the fatherless and widows in their affliction, if we do that, how are we to go about doing it? Well, we're to go about giving it by giving, by going to a visit ourselves, by being involved in a way of fixing meals for someone who is down and out. All those things qualify. And as we have the expertise for it and opportunity to serve in it, we can go whatever means or whatever methods to make a difference in the lives of those that are in affliction. But we would find ourselves amiss if we were to say, no, the only way that you can do this is to bring them to your home yourself. They must come to live in your house, and they must come to live with you. Is that permissible? Sure, it is permissible. But if that's the only way, will it not create division far and wide? When we find ourselves following God's specific directives, we should not add to nor take from. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine are those particular food elements. When they added other foods to that and called it all the Lord's Supper, Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, this is not eating the Lord's Supper. As they recognized that that was happening, they were told to repent of it, to turn away from that practice. What if someone came along the way and had a practice of only a certain kind of vessel in which the bread, the fruit of the vine, was to be found? It would not be authorized of the Lord for that to be the practice. It would not be authorized of God for that to be the way. And the reason for it would be plain. Division, nothing but division, would be created as a result of that. Let's be people then who follow the way of God and be just as offended by someone who would demand of us to do a certain way in which the Lord has not specified, as we would be for anybody to come in and say that there's not a way for you to do this, that, or the other. Let's apply it to an idea that is found in the Scripture in regard to our assembly time. We are to assemble upon the first day of the week, as we find the New Testament church doing. Paul arrived at Troas 6 days early there in Acts chapter 20, verses 4 through 7. At verse 7, it is said upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, continued his speech until midnight. He was a man who was there and available for them, and they honored Paul by having him preach to them on that occasion. Now, when we find ourselves doing this, we find ourselves a part of an assembly. In 1 Corinthians 11, he tells them to tarry on one another till they all assemble together, that they may partake of the Lord's Supper together at that time. That's the message that he gives. When you and I find ourselves a part of an assembly, we have satisfied what the Lord has said in His Word for us to do. How much other growth in God's Word, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, were to study to show ourselves approved unto Him? Elderships all across this country, far and wide, determined that there would be an opportunity for extra services to be rendered, and that it would be of help to brethren who could not attend at a particular time on the Lord's Day. An afternoon or an evening service would be fitting. And extra services would be rendered. Gospel meeting services, lecture programs, activities that would be done during the course of the week. Bible studies that would be done at a particular time on a Tuesday or Wednesday time. Some of the very first Bible studies I was part of were on a Friday night. But to do that in keeping with the orderliness of a local congregation where they lived and where they worked. Anything opposed to that sort of ways of growing in the Lord in that way, when we publicly gather and discuss the Scripture, pray with one another about the things that we understand and we want to do? But what about none? What do we choose to do to grow in that knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we readers at home of God's Word? Are we practicing worship of the Lord at home in our prayers and our time and meals, as well as before bedtime, as well as arriving in the morning? Or at the time that we're making decisions about what to do with the family as we carry out that orders, the activities of the day-to-day activities for good things to be chosen? Do we ask God's blessings upon it? Are we growing in the Lord in that way? Surely we will find ourselves wanting to be faithful people to God, growing in the ways of the Lord. It would be wrong for you and me to command that that be honored, command that that be done in just one certain way. But that it's always done is an important matter. To grow in the ways of the Lord. And there are opportunities that are extended in every congregation I know of, including this one, for us to personally grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior and in the knowledge of His Word and will. And we all ought to take advantage of whatever opportunities that we can. There's a passage found in 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 16, how we're to love the brotherhood. We all know John 3 and verse 16, how indeed Jesus so loved the world and how that He gave Himself for us. But don't we all wish that people knew 1 John 3 and 16? For in 1 John, He tells us to love the brotherhood. When gospel meetings are conducted and Bible lectureships are done and youth days are done in various other congregations far and around us, in reachable times, effort, should we not show as much effort to be a part of that spiritual growth and that spiritual knowledge as we do our other choices, how to make money, how to go to the games, how to be a part of day-to-day activities. Surely our emphasis would want to be as much on a spiritual way, anywhere it's conducted, if I have a love for the brotherhood.